and welcome to Quality of Life Radio, hosted by Lisa and Nancy, editors of BigBlendMagazines.com.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Big Blend Radio's Quality of Life show. Well, every third Wednesday, we get to chat with Dr. Jacqueline Ubani. We call her Dr. Jackie. She talks about heart health because she is a board-certified cardiologist, an electrophysiologist, and she's the author of the best-selling book, Women and Heart Disease, The Real Story. And you can learn more, go to her website, womenandheartdiseasebook.com. And today she's joining us to talk about the Mediterranean diet. So welcome back, Dr. Jackie. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me. Always a pleasure.
Hey, it's always fun. And
yeah,
we're looking forward to talking about the Mediterranean diet. I know you're working on a book about it. This is a big project because it sounds quite delicious. Actually, when I was reading about the Mediterranean diet, and Nancy and I were both excited because wine is part of it.
Yes, wine is part of it. It's an interesting diet, but yeah, it's a good diet to be on.
You know, and I was looking that it was started in the 60s, and so it kind of is, you know, it's part of, you know, cultural food, right? So it's kind of go back to Greece, Turkey, Italy, Spain, North Africa,
yeah.
All these, you know, Mediterranean countries. But, you know, yeah. It's kind of interesting. So was it that people lived longer that this diet came about, do you think?
Yeah. So I don't like calling it a diet. It's actually a lifestyle. So it's more like a Mediterranean lifestyle. It was actually first noticed in the 1950s or 60s where they were noticing people who lived, you know, about seven countries or so that bordered the Mediterranean Sea, that people who lived in these regions were living longer and had less and less heart disease compared to, they compared them to businessmen in the United States, and they found that they had less and less heart disease. So people started to study the lifestyle and the diet of the people in this region. And so that's how the study started back in the 50s, and it was called the Mediterranean diet because it involved seven countries that bordered the Mediterranean Sea, and they observed them, and they adopted some of their lifestyle and their eating habits. And actually, a more recent study was done to validate the study that was done back in the 50s. It was published, again, in the New England Journal of Medicine, and it did validate the original study, showing that this Mediterranean diet can decrease your risk of heart attacks, stroke, and death, and other heart-related problems by up to 30%. So it's a heart-healthy lifestyle, I would like to say, and it's definitely a good idea.
So when you say lifestyle, is this really looking at, maybe chilling out a little bit? Because when I think of the Mediterranean, I already just feel like I'm sitting out enjoying the ocean and outdoors and just kind of,
it
just already sounds relaxing. So is that part of it? Not just, you know, wolfing down our food.
Yes, exactly. I mean, part of this whole lifestyle is not only just physical activity. It's, you know, eating with friends and family, just enjoying time with them and not just, you know, eating mindlessly like we do here, just stuffing your face with food. it's a whole lifestyle experience, eating healthy, eating fresh fruits and vegetables as opposed to processed, you know, and things like that that go a long way in decreasing your risk for heart disease.
So I think it's good to be relaxed, you know?
Yeah.
Especially during a meal, because when you have the big hurry, like even the term fast food doesn't sound all that healthy.
Well, you know what I've noticed is as we travel a country, Nancy and I pet sit and we've had a couple. I actually baked a dinner the other night for a couple. Like I actually did a whole dinner. Like it's shocking. But it was chicken and I thought of you and lemon and I was like, it's kind of Mediterranean, right? But you know, when you're eating with people, and we just recently had dinner with a really good friend that's up here in Oregon where we are. And I noticed, you know, whenever we're eating with people, I tend not to eat as that much. I actually eat less. And I know that's because I talk too much. But you know what I mean? Otherwise, if we're not talking to anybody or relaxing and having those conversations at the table, somehow you start to, you know, add in a little bit more.
Right.
Go for that seconds or, you know, I just, it's weird. And maybe you don't take as big of a portion if you're in front of people too.
Right. And I mean, the diet is, you know, based on healthier eating options. You know, it's a plant-based diet that focuses more on fruits and vegetables and whole grains, nuts and seeds, and less likely, not so much of a focus on the red meats or sweets. Those things that tend to be bad for you in terms of your cardiovascular health. So it encourages eating more healthy, fresh fruits and vegetables as opposed to processed. And instead of adding all the salt, there are lots of herbs that you can, you know, put in the meals. So it makes it delicious. So it's not like a diet where, you know, you just don't even like what you're eating. These foods tend to be, to have a lot of spice, a lot of herbs, and they tend to be very tasty. And they're good, and it's good for your heart.
And when you talk about, you know, fresh vegetables, a fruit, number one, when you see get into a fruit kick, that's kind of like a really good way of getting that sweet tooth in, or even dried fruits, you know, high in sugar though, when you start drying fruit, but
yeah, exactly.
Are you cooking the vegetables or mostly salads with maybe, I noticed that fish seems to be a big deal as well in this
diet.
Yeah,
you can both. You can do both raw, fresh, and you can cook it. And that should be your main meal. And leave the animal protein as side dishes. And so have the vegetables, the fruits, whole grains. Whole grains are a good source of protein, and they're pretty filling and not very expensive. And you can, you know, make it taste great. So you can make these as your main meal, and eat, and you know, cut out on the red meats, which have the horrible or the which are bad for you because of all the fats and cholesterol that it contains.
Mm. This is interesting because it kind of like I look at everybody's doing this keto thing, and it just seems so. I know they have to have fresh, you know, fruits and vegetables too. Any kind of diet, it's always that, but. It seems like it's very high in meat, what people are eating in this keto thing. So it's interesting, but kind of more hunter-gatherer kind of thing, I think, for what they're doing.
Yeah, so the keto more, I mean, it's more like a short-term kind of thing to lose weight. But yeah, if you eat too much of the red meats that have a lot of saturated fat, high in cholesterol, I mean, long-term, it's not good for you cardiovascular-wise. I think people do that for just short-term weight loss, but the Mediterranean lifestyle should be more of a long-term way of eating and living that ultimately improves your heart health.
Oh, wow.
I think that society went to eating a lot of meat to show that they were wealthy because you know, when you go way back in history, only the wealthy people really had meat every day, or even maybe only three or four times a week. And somehow now we're in a, you know, have meat every day, if not sometimes twice a day, you know?
Right.
You know, and then part of it's the processed meats, like lunch meats for sandwiches. I can't, they're not even real. there's so much junk in them. They're not really meat, I don't think.
So bacon's a no-no?
Bacon's a big no-no.
It's a bacon's a no-no.
But yeah, you do bring up an interesting point. You know, the Mediterranean lifestyle, these people who lived along the Mediterranean Sea, they weren't wealthy people. You know, the food that they ate, they grew in their backyard. They grew the fresh vegetables and the whole grains and things like that. And, of course, they couldn't afford meat, and that's why meat was not something they ate every day. It was something that, you know, was to celebrate. They ate it once or twice a month, you know, and they had a lot of fish because they could, you know, fish in the Mediterranean. And so their food was cheap, and they were eating things that they could afford, things that they grow in their backyard. And they ended up being healthier than Americans who had money and are mm-hmm. eating the steaks every day and foods that are just high in cholesterol and high in bad fats.
Mm. And also, you know, when you think about the Mediterranean countries, these are countries where people do sit around, have coffee together. They, you know, do those kinds of things. But so they're very social, but they're also people that, you know, they go out fishing, which does take energy. They yeah, do go walk. Yeah. They walk a whole bunch.
They
so I wonder if that's part of the, is that yes, part of the lifestyle then?
Yes, that's part of the lifestyle. Physical activity for sure is part of the lifestyle. Walking a lot, doing a lot of physical labor and things like that. So that's what makes it a whole lifestyle thing as opposed to just a diet and food. And, you know, so that's what makes it so healthy.
It's to me, it sounds, it kind of reminds me of, you know, the African cultures. And, you know, from, you know, you're from Nigeria that,
yes,
they, you know, going back to it, it's like they didn't eat meat every single day. Like, you know, the cow was more for milk and things, but, you know, cheese was really, if you're going to have cheese, it would be more from goats, you know, from what I remember.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
you know, and it just seemed like, well, I could have the dairy there for some reason. I don't know if it's the pasteurization that we do in this country, but, you know, dairy and I have to, it's a lovesick, love-hate relationship. I love to eat it, but my body knows it's not,
exactly.
you know, I'm terrible about it. But I think the dairy I know we can do, but it's, you know, when you think about Greek food, they always have that, you know, Greek yogurt and
yeah.
that sauce that was it this, I can't remember, tzatziki sauce. I don't know how to say it properly, but there's always these.
Yeah, I know the yogurt.
Fresh,
yeah.
Based. Light based sauce and
yeah.
oils like salad dressing has more like olive oil and lemon and
mm-hmm.
not so much of this, these
like
big
ranch.
Yeah. The ranch heavy dressing.
Heavy dressing. Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay. No, that's a good point that you bring up, because, you know, when you think of traditional diets, they tend to restrict the amount of, you know, quote-unquote fat that you can eat. But the Mediterranean diet does not really restrict, but they make a distinction between what's good fat and what's bad fat, and they encourage you to eat more of the good fats. So one of the big fats that they use in the Mediterranean area is olive oil. They
mm-hmm.
use olive oil for just about everything. And olive oil is a good fat. It's what we call a monounsaturated fatty acid. And it actually could decrease your cholesterol. So that's the good thing about the diet. You can eat healthier. It encourages you to eat healthier fats like the olive oils or, you know, avocados and things like that. So it gives you more of a variety that you can eat, and it tastes good, and it's good for you.
And you can actually bake with it, like baking
yeah.
cakes. Yeah, and people think, a lot of people think you can't, but you really can.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Ruth Milstein does. She goes in, and if she makes meat, Ruth Milstein's the author of Cooking with Love, ventures into the new Israeli cuisine. So she's, you know, always talking about this. Like if she gets meat, like red meat, she'll take the fat off and rub it, rub the meat with olive oil instead of using the fat. And she did like chicken. She says, no, if you're going to roast chicken, you take the skin off. I'm like, Ruth, you can't take the skin off.
That's it.
We want the crispies. You know, we want the crispies. And she's like, no. And everything is fresh. When she comes on a show, we all sit and wait. Okay, where how many minutes until she says it must be fresh and everything? Like if you're going to cook meat, you must go to the butcher. If you're going to do seafood, you need to go to the sea monger. Like don't just buy it frozen in the grocery store. Like she's, you know, she's it's a huge thing. And I think, you know, this Israeli cuisine is really that same kind of Mediterranean food we're talking about. Like it's not pasta. If she has pasta, it's going to be more like she's going to bring in couscous and quinoa and things like that for the grains.
Yeah.
Not white rice. I remember the last
Absolutely.
Show you talked about healthy eating. You're like, no white rice, no white pasta. And I, you know, I went and looked at the pasta aisle and I'm like, we have a problem, man. Everything is white pasta, like enriched.
Yeah.
And then, but now there's lentils. You can get pasta made out of lentils. And that's pretty cool. It's just different. It's different.
Exactly. Brown rice is really good.
Exactly.
It tastes so much better than white rice.
Yeah.
Yes. and it has more nutrients in it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, right. So, I mean, if you go and I know sometimes I go to Trader Joe's. I don't know if you guys have that over there. But, yeah, there are options for, you know, whole grain pasta, brown rice. You see these things on the shelves. So if you're a pasta person, you don't have to stop eating pasta 100%. Mm. You can, you know, reach for the whole grain brown pastas or the whole grain breads and stay away from the white rice, white bread, and the white pasta because they tend to be more refined and all of the nutrients are removed with each refinement that you do to these products.
Mm. And they really don't taste, you know? They really don't have a taste, so it's kind of odd that we, you know, we want white bread instead of wheat or rye or something. It's really kind of odd because it doesn't really have a taste.
Right, exactly.
No, I'm terrible. If you get me a nice white loaf of bread as freshly baked and some butter, I'm there. But you know, but you can get really good dark breads, you know. That are really good and, you know, rice and stuff like that. But you really can make these changes. But, you know, going back to the pasta, Dr. Jackie, Chef Ivan Flowers is on our show all the time and he's Italian, right? And, you know, his grandma taught him and now he's a five-star chef and culinary instructor. He teaches high school kids how to cook, which is amazing. And he says, then they're teaching their parents. And he's really into it. But he, whenever we talk about pasta, it's not the Alfredo sauce and it's not the typical red sauce you put on pasta. He's always a good olive oil. That's all you need.
Yeah.
You have your pasta, a good olive oil, you know, and then of course he wants to have like Parmesan cheese or something, but he goes, it must be the fresh. Don't get it out of the little jar that's full of salt. Cause he's like, if you go to a grocery store and you realize how much sodium is in these sauces and all these preservatives, he's like, if you use olive oil and you get real cheese, you don't even need as much cheese because the flavor is so good. Right. So
absolutely.
I'm hungry now.
Yeah, if you read the ingredients on some of these sauces, you realize it's not food.
Yeah,
exactly. They always say
shop on the outside of they always say the outskirts of the grocery store. You know, go around so you get the produce aisle. The wine is always on the outside too. And we're allowed wine, but again, you have to do, you're only allowed 5 ounces, right?
Right.
It used to be four. Right. So I'm just saying, you're doing better.
Next year's going
right,
to be six.
Exactly. That's another plus for this Mediterranean diet or lifestyle. For those of us who love drinking wine, you know, you don't have to restrict yourself. Well, you don't have to not have any wine whatsoever. You are still allowed your 1 5-ounce of wine with your dinner every day, which is good. You know,
well, that's very Mediterranean, you know, to have a glass of wine at dinner. And maybe next year it will be, you know, 6 ounces. You know, well, I think as inflation goes up, the more wine we should be allowed to have. You know,
she's like, no.
Yeah, it didn't happen. But she almost got me excited there because we're about the no restraint. I'm like, come on, Dr. Jackie, say it. But I do want to say, you know, when you think about inflation and the rising cost of food, because food has gotten like ridiculous, certain things, but you're really talking about whole foods. And if you eat like what's in season, you know, and I think that's part of the Mediterranean is, they have a beautiful season year round. That's part of the thing, but serious. But you know, when you think about fresh fruits and things like that, you know, fresh vegetables and these grains and even fish, you know, I know fish is a big deal, but isn't it actually more cost effective for families, do you think, to eat this kind of diet than all the jarred stuff and all the packaged stuff that we're paying for?
Absolutely. Yes. I know sometimes it can be expensive to, you know, go and buy a prepackaged salad compared to going to McDonald's or something. But like you were saying, if you try to get the fruits and vegetables that are in season, and instead of getting the prepackaged cut up vegetables already, you may have to just go buy them whole and chop them up yourself because it's, you know, cheaper when you buy them pre cut or what have you. So doing those things can lower the cost of your food bill compared to buying meat.
Yeah, but if you're cutting things, you know, chopping your vegetables, cleaning, and it's better to clean them yourself and chop them, just saying.
Yeah.
You know, there's a health thing with that too. Whenever you see a recall, it's, you know, and it's vegetable oriented, it's always a prepackaged, cut up, pre-washed. That's, you know, and then how much did they sanitize it? Like, did they bleach it? You know what I mean? It's just all that kind of stuff that it's not, you've gone out of Whole Foods at that point. But I think that when you cook and you take those steps, there is a meditational quality to cooking. If you get, you know, sometimes you're not in the mood and if it's, you know, overstressing, then that's not good for your heart, right? But if you set that time aside or get the kids involved in meal prep, I think that's part of the lifestyle too, that you're taking time out to do something that's good for you, and your body knows when you're doing something good.
Yes, absolutely. No, I would agree with that. Mm. I would agree with that.
I think it's cool if you can get kids to grow the food in their own personal gardens. And then they'll like to harvest it, then they'll learn to cook with it, and they'll appreciate it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
That would be ideal. That would be ideal.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, before you go, Dr. Jackie, what is a statin? I heard somebody talking about that they had to take statins or something.
Yeah. So a statin is a medication that we give for cholesterol. So if your cholesterol is high, this medication helps lower your cholesterol by helping you get rid of it in your body. And it's really the standard medication we have for cholesterol. It works really well. There are some side effects, not a lot, but a few side effects. And people who get these side effects can't take the medication. But overall, it's a well-studied medication. It's excellent for decreasing your cholesterol and therefore decreasing your risk of having a heart attack or having a second heart attack or dying from a heart attack.
Wow. Can you get yourself off of it if you start to, like if you're in trouble cholesterol wise and you need to do that, like can you reverse?
The medication can reverse some of the cholesterol plaques in your body. If you choose to go on a strict low cholesterol diet and your cholesterol comes down, you may, and if you can sustain it, which is always the issue, can you sustain this very strict cholesterol diet? It is possible, because there's nothing that's impossible. It is possible to come off the medication, but if you've already had a heart attack, it's probably beneficial that you stay on the medication indefinitely.
Wow. Okay. So we want to do the prevention again. Like you're always talking about, lifestyle changes can really give you an 80% chance of not having a heart attack, right? Wow. So
There are cases of patients who have a hereditary form of high cholesterol where, you know, lifestyle changes can't decrease the number. You just need medication. So these people who have the hereditary form of high cholesterol, they really need to be on medications.
See, I didn't know that you could have high cholesterol just from a hereditary circumstance.
They lack the gene that helps break down and remove the cholesterol from the body, and as a result, they accumulate cholesterol. Hmm. And doesn't matter how much exercising you do, doesn't matter how much you don't eat, because your liver also produces cholesterol. So your liver continues to produce it, and your body can't get rid of it, so your cholesterol stays high. And these guys tend to have really, really high cholesterol.
Wow. So if you know that if you have a family history, kind of like cancer, if you have family who have had, you know, heart disease, heart attacks, then you should be aware, right? Like that's why aware. I kind of doing your family history is actually a really important thing. You know, I know a lot of people do it just to know more about their health, you know, you know, what they should be aware of. I never even thought about this. So every time you come on the show now, I'm going to ask you a weird question, but that wasn't a weird one, but
nice.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
That's a good one. Cause a lot of people are on statin medications.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I just heard someone talking about that, and I was like, okay, I've got to ask Dr. Jackie. And I didn't know it was quite about cholesterol, but, you know, it's interesting because it does go back to the Mediterranean diet. Is this a low cholesterol diet? Then this is giving you the good cholesterols, like avocado versus red meat is the bad cholesterol, right?
Right, yeah. Right, exactly.
See, I look at it this way, where red meat, and you look at the big thing, like if you look at a piece of bacon, right, and you've got the white fat. So to me, that equates to that, like that is what it's going to look like in your body.
In your body, exactly.
Yeah. And if you have olive oil, it's just going to go down like wine. That's clear. It runs. It's just going to go right through and it's all good for you. And it's good for your skin, by the way. Olive oil is really good for your skin. Yeah. Better than
it's good for your hair too.
So is avocado.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, really good for you. Actually, that's usually a rule of thumb that I teach people, that, you know, because people are saying, oh, well, it's very complex. How do you know which fats are bad and which fats are good? And the general rule of thumb, and this is just a very generalized statement, is that the fats that are liquid at room temperature are much better than fats that are solid at room temperature. Mm-hmm. So you think about fats and animal proteins is solid. You think about butter, you know, lard. Those are solid at room temperature, and they tend to be the bad fats. Whereas the ones that are liquid at room temperature, like olive oil, they tend to be better fats. So it's a good rule of thumb.
And you know what? And they smell. The hard fats smell. They really do.
They stink.
They stink compared to olive oil.
But even the studies, when you look at meat, like they were saying, like, you know, grass-fed beef or venison is healthier than the factory-farmed meat. It's really kind of interesting, you know. Nancy and I think if we eat, you know, we don't. Like, we don't really eat meat until we're around people or, you know, have dinner with them or we don't cook because
we just don't even look at it.
Quite frankly, it is. I roasted a chicken the other day and all of a sudden I realized I had to pull all this stuff out of its cavity. I was like, this is ew, man. And I was looking at the organs and I'm like,
this is weird.
No, this isn't. I haven't roasted a chicken since. For like over a decade, for sure. I mean, well, that's how bad it is.
Chicken,
you know,
is better than having like red meat. Chicken is, and turkey is better than red meat.
Yeah, poultry. Poultry. Mm-hmm.
But you have to touch all that stuff and then make sure everything's, you know, sanitized and eat it at the right temperature. You know, to me, making a salad and vegetables and avocado is always like our main protein. We eat a lot of beans too. Like, it's mm-hmm. you're in like Chef Ivan's always like, do your own beans, don't get them canned. They're not good for you.
Well, yeah,
can, you know. Yeah. So he's always do your own if you can, and that's mm-hmm. another cost effective meal. You can go get those things in bulk in a lot of stores. You know that you know if you're trying to save money on stuff. But I do wanted to touch on the dairy because I know I have a lot of vegetarian friends, and when I was vegetarian, I went vegan, then vegetarian, and back and forth. But suddenly, you're eating big pieces of cheese out of the refrigerator. Somehow, I don't think that's as good for you as like goat cheese and feta cheese, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Exactly.
No chunks of cheese. That's out. No more bricks. Don't eat the brick because that's what it's going to look like when it goes in. Eat the soft cheeses.
You're going to have a brick on each hip.
Yeah, that's it. All right. Well, cool. Dr. Jackie, this is awesome. And everyone, again, go to Dr. Jackie's website, Women and Heart Disease book.com, because that is, again, the book you want to get, Women and Heart Disease book.com. It teaches about women and heart disease. And women often have heart attacks and people don't even know they're having them. And so it's really important to understand why and how to prevent it. So every woman should have this book and, you know, men should read it too, so that, you know, you've got women in your life. So it's all important. So Women and Heart Disease book.com. Dr. Jackie is on our show every third Wednesday. And you can also go see Dr. Jackie. You can go to cvwellnessinstitute.com. She is you're in Orange and Irvine, California, right? For people to come and see
That's
you.
Correct. Well, Orange County.
Orange County.
Orange. Yeah.
She's in the OC. So go see her in the OC. And of course, keep up with us at bigblendradio.com. Thank you so much, Dr. Jackie.
Thank you. Have a good evening.
Good day.
You too.
Good day. Take care.
Take care.